if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Hey, everybody, this is Maggie Rodden, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. How you doing today? Hey, I've got my regular Sunday guest back with me this morning, and I want to give out the call-in number for anybody who wants to call into the show this morning. The number is 716-213-6816. 716-213-6816 is the number. My website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. You can hear my show. Listen, I'm heard several places now. I know that Orion is picking up the second hour of my show. I'm now on Republic Broadcasting Network Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern. And I know Orion picks up the second hour of the show. And then you can also hear me if you're in Colorado listening on an AM station out there, KHNC 1360. And that's like I wanted to say Dallas. That'd be a thing. Huh? Dallas is now in Colorado. Boy, this broad has no clue what she's doing, right? In Denver and Fort Collins and Johnstown and that section of the country. Plus, it hits a couple of the surrounding states. It's a 10,000-watt station. Let's see. I'm always here Sunday, micro 1650 a.m. And of course, I'm replayed on NetTalk World. You can hear me via TalkStream Live. You can reach me through my website, which is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com. And go there. Lots of good information. Podcast is always up on my website, as well as links to my guest website. Of course, Bill has a tab on my website. That's Bill's official website now, is a tab on my website. For whatever he wants to put up there, we put up there for him. And lots of good information there, especially on United Nations Agenda 21. So, you know what? And I know the listeners are very sophisticated on this station. So you are up to up to speed, I should say, on UN Agenda 21. But if you're not, you need to be, because that is the plan for our global enslavement. William Taylor Real, my guest, or Ryle, my guest today, is always on with me talking about the Constitution and other assorted documents. And somebody had actually, Bill was on with me last Sunday, and then he was on with me during the week because last Sunday was a lot of problems with the connection. But he was on with me during the weekend, and Bill just told me before we went live that I had forwarded a letter someone had sent to him with a couple of comments based upon what Bill was talking about last week, which was the Declaration of Independence. So if you want to refer to those comments, Bill, if you're interested, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I hope you are, too, and everybody listening. There's always points of discussion anytime you are talking about a document that's was written in the late 1700s, and the changes that have been placed upon it by various people in government primarily, but misunderstanding. And so I find it interesting when people raise points of discussion, and this young man did, I assume he's young.
No idea, but
he had no idea, right? But the point is, I hope he's listening. But the first concern was separation of church and state, which is something that I mentioned on the 7th, and that there really is no truly separation of church and state. That's something that's done wholly out of whole cloth or just empty rhetoric, created a thin air in 1947 by the Supreme Court in Everson versus Board of Education. But unfortunately, since that time, the concept of this total wall of separation between church and state has become readily acknowledged, and it's just not true. So I thought maybe we'd spend a little time talking about that today.
It's a very good idea, Bill. What was this, what'd you say, Emerson versus Board of Education? What was that all about?
Well, the discussion about the case is really, it was in that case that Justice Black, I believe it was Black, made this eight-word statement that there's a wall of separation between church and state. Nowhere in the Constitution is that statement made. people often refer to the First Amendment as the Establishment Clause, and they remember that as where it comes from. But that's not what that says. In fact, this writer makes reference to that. And in fact, that clause is Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Everybody forgets the last part of that.
Yeah, I think they do, Bill.
In today's wording. And then they misinterpret what the first clause says. And, of course, the courts are eager to do that because the courts are driving the society to do away with any Christian references because they want the state to be the supreme authority, not, as our country is founded on, biblical principles and morality. Christian principles, morality. And I think that's really a sad commentary on where our country has gone very aggressively since the Everson case in 1947. Because, first of all, think about what the words say. And if people would really like to understand how to interpret the Constitution, I'd encourage everybody to read various commentaries by recognized constitutional scholars really before the turn of the 20th century. But Justice Story is a good source. He wrote his commentaries in 1833, and Justice Story was 10 years old when the Constitution was ratified in 1789. He was on the Supreme Court from 1811 to 1845 when he died. So I would suggest that he knew what was going on and is a good source. And his commentaries on how to interpret the Constitution are very informative. The portions, I guess it's in Chapter 5, where you can read what Story understood, how to interpret the Constitution, and how if a word was unclear, then there was need for interpretation. But if not, there was not.
So well, Bill, why don't you do me a favor, because I want you to make a list of things you suggest people should read related to that, and we can put them up on your tab on my website so people can have a reference. I think that's a good idea, Bill, because you know what? That comes up all the time with people wanting to put a cross up or the Ten Commandments or something like that. This stuff comes up all the time. And as well as people always saying that the country was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Where did this whole Judeo-Christian thing come into play, too, Bill? I want you to talk about that if you would today. But I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to say that before we went further that give me a list so we can know what to read, okay?
Okay. And again, there are a lot of references, and I'll talk about a few of them that we can put up on the website. But just look at what the words say. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. One of the things that maybe people don't realize is that the Constitution, various clauses and sections of the Constitution were included in order to address particular concerns and solve particular problems that the leaders in the new states, the 13 states, had experienced, and they were very learned men. And so this problem that they were addressing was that the states, various states, had established statewide religions, state-sponsored religions. And one of the reasons, and this was before they became states, when they were colonies, but they had carried over and not been abolished, and what they were trying to address was the problem that they faced with England, where the Church of England was the only church, and anything against the Church of England was, in fact, a crime. If you talked against the Church of England, you could be murdered.
Okay.
And sort of like it's interesting, William Penn was put on trial for talking against the Church of England in 1670 in the Hat Trial, and his penalty, had he been found guilty, would have been death. There would have been no Pennsylvania. So it was a very serious issue, and they were trying to address...
Hold on, Bill, because that music is telling us we're going to break. We'll be right back, everybody, in a couple of minutes, so hang in there. This is the Unsolicited Opinion.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Timothy Spearman's The History of the Peace Train. The peace train Cat Stevens made so famous rides the rails once more. Tim and peace poet Bibby Pruitt are riding the rails, jointly promoting their new books. Bibby's inspirational peace poetry, Princess of Peace, complements Tim's historical History of the Peace Train. The History of the Peace Train details the history of trains since the dawn of train travel and the instrumental role they have played in the peace movement internationally. Check out Timothy Spearman's website at www.shakespeare.com. Books are available for Tim and Vivi at XOXOPublishing.com and Amazon.com. Catch Vivi and Tim's live radio show, Writing on the Wall, on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Saturdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't miss out on a history-changing event.
The unsolicited opinion, and if you'd like to call into the show this morning and talk to my resident constitutional scholar, you're more than welcome to do so. The number is 716-213-6816, 716-213-6816, and if you'd like to get in contact with me, my website is three words, theunsolicitedopinion.com, theunsolicitedopinion.com. I'm talking this morning with William Tyler Ryle, and we went to break, Bill, and I don't know where you left off. I'm not taking notes this morning to keep track of which end is up, so.
That's so, right. We were talking about the alleged separation of church and state, which in fact was never the intent of the framers. And we were talking about why the First Amendment clause, which is titled or referred to as the Establishment Clause, was put in the Constitution. Because, of course, that was an amendment, and the 13 states who were involved in its ratification, had concerns about the federal government exceeding its authority. And one of the amendments, the first, was included this concept of establishing a national church, which had led to the, frankly, many people coming to America in the first place to get away from religious persecution in Europe, and particularly in England. And I was talking about William Penn's hat trial in 1670, which was based on the fact that William Penn had been preaching Quakerism in the square in England, and that was a crime to talk against the Church of England at the time. In fact, the penalty was death, and he was acquitted, if you will, by some very
one question. Mm-hmm. Why was it called the Hat Trial? Why Hat? What was?
Okay. Well, you may remember that young William Penn was rather rebellious, and
he was what? Young William Penn was what?
Rebellious. His father was admiral. The king owned him a lot, and that's the reason Pennsylvania. But he was on trial for preaching Quakerism against the law in England. It was a serious crime, punishable by death for preaching against the Church of England. And he was on trial for that, and had not four jurors said not guilty, he would have been put to death. But the reason it's called the Hat Trial is, his being a rebellious young man, he wouldn't take his hat off when he went into court, just as civil disobedience, right? So his father implored him to do that. Well, he did. He went into this trial, and he took his hat off, and the court ordered the tip staff to put the hat back on, which they did, and then they found him in contempt for having his hat on. This is, you know, sort of another example of courts out of control, like we have today, where they thought they could do anything. Fortunately, the Queen of England stepped in and did, in fact, uphold the jury decision. But we got a lot of things out of that, and we can talk about that perhaps on another day. But that's the reason it's called a Hat Trial.
You know, Bill, you're breaking up. I don't know why. Are you moving around or something as you're talking? Because I know you're calling me. Are you calling me on a cell phone? Are you in the church, using the landline in the church?
Anyway, I'll try to.
Yeah, you can't be moving around, because right now I can't hear you at all, Bill. Why don't you hang up and call back into the station so that I get a better connection with you? Because right now I can't hear you at all, so.
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Let's see what we can do, and then we'll maybe do that at break. At any rate, this separation of church and state here in the United States, that clause put in the First Amendment was done to solve, as I said, the fact that some of the colonies and the states had state-recognized churches. And they were trying to solve that problem on a national level, that there would be no national church like the Church of England.
I got you.
And that's why the Establishment Clause. And then the part again people ignore is prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Now, the other thing that people need to keep in mind is that religion, at the time, that denomination or sect of Christianity, there were other religions practiced in America at the time, but this country was based on biblical law, primarily the Old and New Testament, and you can confirm that by the fact that Blackstone's Commentary, which was the laws of England, was finished in 1765, and all the framers knew that. And when you read the Declaration of Independence, where it says the law of nature and nature's God, that really was modeled after what John Locke had been talking about, and the fact that Blackstone had made reference to the law of nature and the revealed law, which is found only in the Holy Scriptures, the Old and New Testament, and that that law is, in effect, all over the world, affects everyone at all times, and that anything, any law that man makes that's contrary to those, that the law of nature and the revealed law, is totally void. And you can read that in Blackstone's Commentaries, Volume 1, Section 2, on the nature of law. And it's quite instructive. But those are the founding sources of information that the framers used when they wrote the Declaration of Independence. And they wrote the Constitution. And most of the people involved were devout Christians at the time. And so, to say that this country is not based on biblical law, it's just just not true. Maybe we can look at an oath, because one of the things that this writer had indicated was the Constitution says that there'll be no religious test. That's the last paragraph, or last sentence in the last paragraph of Article 6. And they were talking about not having to be, take a test for the federal government to be in the government. But look at the constitutional oath of office.
You're breaking up, Bill. I can't hear your words. And if I can't hear them, that means the listeners can't hear them either. So do me a favor. Hang up and call me right back, okay?
Okay.
Hey, everybody, we're just waiting. I'm sitting here in a fog. We're just waiting for Bill to call back in. My guest, William Taylor Ryle, who's calling in on a cell phone, which always makes for a really lousy connection, and always presents a problem when you're on the air. Cell phones just don't give you the same connection as a landline does, and that always makes it for a big problem here. Same with Magic Jacks and that kind of stuff. Always a big headache. But anyway, hopefully he'll reconnect, obviously. Something ain't right here with his phone, which presents a problem when you're trying to get the message out. If you can't hear people, then your message ain't getting too far now, is it? Anyway, as I said before, on my website, there is a tab with William Taylor Ryle's information. He sent me a few documents to stick up there. He didn't send me a lot, though. And he's back with us now. Bill, can you hear me? Okay, we're about ready to go to break in a second or two anyway, but can you hear me, Bill? Well, we're going to break right now. Listen, we're going to have to see if we can get this straightened around. Everybody, this is the Unsolicited Opinion. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Hang in there.
To the fight for freedom today, I bet Patrick Henry is rolling over in his grave. I'm holding on to yesterday, but all my dreams are slipping away. Paid my dues to Uncle Sam.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm John Russell. Protest movements are intensifying globally. Correspondent Sofia Manos takes a look at some from this weekend.
Egyptian protesters vow not to leave tent camps until the remnants of ousted President Hosni Mubarak's regime are purged. In Syria, Human Rights Watch says commanders told security forces they were fighting terrorists, ordered them to open fire on anti-regime demonstrations. Human Rights Watch also says Yemeni troops might have killed dozens of civilians caught in crossfire. Libya is in the grips of an uprising. Malaysia denies unfairly curbing dissent by firing tear gas on protesters. And Vietnam has detained journalists and anti-China protesters.
A Russian official says a boat has sunk on the Volga River. At least one person has died and 61 are missing. He says 173 people were on board when the boat went down. You're listening to IRN USA Radio News.
Wow, do we have an incredible offer for you today on Amberin. You're not going to want to miss out on this opportunity. Everybody goes through menopause differently, and women are reporting that Amberin works amazingly fast. Best news of all, it works on everything. The hot flashes, to feeling more emotionally balanced, to losing weight. I'm even talking stubborn belly fat. Amberin is the hormone balancing breakthrough that relieves menopause symptoms 100% naturally. Now, in the 5 years since Amberin hit the market, it's got a 92.6% success rate. No matter what your menopause symptoms are, this is the way to get rid of them. None of those scary artificial hormones going into your body. Amberin makes hot flashes and night sweats disappear. All right, here's the deal. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply free. Call 1-800-893-3027. That's 1-800-893-3027. 1-800-893-3027.
Hey, it's Popeye from FederalJack.com. Don't miss my show, Down the Rabbit Hole, Wednesday and Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Orion Talk Radio Network.
This is Maggie Rod, and you're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. And my guest this morning, William Taylor Ryle, is on a cell phone, and it's coming in and out, fading in and out, but we're going to keep going, seeing if we can't get enough of the words that are audible so everybody can follow what it is we're talking about. Otherwise, it just still be absolute nonsense. But hey, Bill, you with
me? Hey, I apologize. I don't know whether sometimes affects this.
Yeah, I know. What's a cell phone, Bill? That's, you know, it's, we can go to space. We can't figure out cell phones. That's all. You know how it is.
Well, where we are was we were talking about the oath of office that those in Delaware who were government took in support of the argument that this is a Christian nation. Those 13 states all went back and, of course, wrote their constitutions. And the oath in Delaware was, I do profess faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Holy Son, and the Holy Ghost, one God, blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be given by divine inspiration. Now, for just a few years, 13 years later, to think that the framers of the Federal Constitution didn't believe the same thing is just total nonsense. The reason is that the people were first and foremost citizens of the state, and because the state, part of the Union, once they became part of the Union and the United States was formed, really their primary function was the state government. It wasn't the federal government. It wasn't to be applied extensively to the people, except where the federal power was given to the central government. But they were trying to guard against there being a national church. The Pennsylvania oath was very similar, and I think everybody listening, if they were to look at their oath, they would find it similar. But in Pennsylvania, it said, I do believe in one God, the creator and governor of the universe, the rewarder of good, and the arbiter of evil. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scripture, the Old and New Testament, given by divine inspiration. Again, Old and New Testament, and Christianity.
Yeah.
So, the history is rich. And I have a paper that I wrote ago, most of that is like, has a lot of information in it, and how it got perverted by the courts starting in 1947. And it continued aggressively after that and has to this date, trying to eliminate, I think, the primary goal is to take Christianity out of the public square and therefore do away with Christianity, do away with the Bible as authority, and look to the state to be the authority.
Exactly what they want to do.
In this country, unique on the earth, the people are the sovereign, not the state. They are trustees. They operate on our authority, not on the state's authority. Unlike anywhere else on the earth, the people in America, in the states, are sovereign, and they are, in fact, citizens of the United States, lawfully, because that state is a member of the union, a state first, and then they join the union, and now you become a citizen not only of the state where you make your home, but also you are a citizen of the United States. That's not the way it's looked at today, unfortunately, but it's in fact the lawful way it's supposed to be. And there's always been dual citizenship in this country. For instance, the original 13 states, those citizens were, let's take Pennsylvania, you're a citizen of Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania is a member of the Union, and you're also a citizen of the United States of America. Now, that's not true after the war between the states and the 14th Amendment. It's not the way government functions. But the point is, there has always been dual sovereignty. If you made your home in the District of Columbia after it became the seat of government, then you're only a citizen of the United States of America, because that 10-mile square is the seat of government, and it's not a state. If you're in the territories, you're only a citizen of the United States of America, not a citizen of the state. So it's possible to have only one citizenship, but most of us have dual citizenship. And a lot of argument says,
I lost you, Bill. I could tell the ads because you were fading out. Oh, cell phones. Annoying stuff that they are. I hate cell phones, actually, although I do have one. I really hate talking on them. They annoy me, and they annoy me for several reasons. And when I'm doing my radio show and my guest calls in on his cell phone and he breaks in and out, that annoys me for that reason, too. So anyway, listen, I don't know if we're going to get him back. And here's Jimmy. Jimmy is in the boardroom, and he's in the studio. I see him navigating, manipulating the mouse, trying to get my caller back on the line. We'll see what happens. Anyway, we'll see if we get William Taylor Ryle back on with us. If we don't, then I'm just going to ramble on about some stuff.
Hello. Pennsylvania Committee of Correspondents.
William Taylor Ryle. Because you got his voicemail. Anyway, I guess what we'll do is see if he's trying back in here again. Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'm sorry. Drop signal.
Yeah, yeah. Are you walking around where you are today, Bill? Because you can't be moving around.
No, I'm not moving at all. It's the signal.
Yeah.
Any rate, from now on, I'll make sure I get on a landline. That's probably the solution to this problem.
Yeah, would be. Good idea, Bill.
Yeah, we can limp through this today.
I want to interrupt you for a second here. You know, you were talking about citizen of the United States. Someone had emailed me a national citizen or not a citizen of the United States. I don't know what the hell they're talking about, Bill. I'm sure that you probably are up on all that crap. So maybe we could talk about that one of these shows as well. I'm sure you know what I'm referring to, correct?
I do. They are theories based on the 14th Amendment, and they're not valid. Even if they were, since the 14th Amendment doesn't exist as a matter of law, and that we probably ought to talk about at length, then it doesn't matter. But the separation church and state concept was really born out of nothing. In fact, just reading a little bit of history confirms this. In fact, Madison is interesting in talking about the Constitution, said this in 1778. We have staked the whole future of American civilization not upon the power of government, far from it. We have staked the future upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God. Now, for those people who think that the church shouldn't be involved in what government does, that is, Christian principles and morality, it's just not true. But this relationship was always understood to be total control, if you will, or influence by Christian principles and morality in government, but government had no authority to interfere with the right of worship or conscience. of individuals. And so that's a one-way relationship. I like to akin it to a diode in electrical terms. And DC current flows one way, but only one way.
Yeah.
And so that's the relationship. And if you look around at the monuments all over Harrisburg or all over the capital of wherever the state you have to be, make your home, and in Washington, D.C., you see all sorts of references to Holy Scriptures and God. So why was all that put on the buildings if that wasn't the case? In 1851, Congress, having been bombarded by this concept that the church wasn't to be involved, again, not a new concept, did a study. It was a two-year study, and they came back, and the essence of that study was, if there had ever been an attack on Christianity, the Republic would have died in its cradle. And the Senate concurred with that. And then in 1892, there was a United States Supreme Court case, it's the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States, where the Supreme Court explained that this was a Christian nation.
Bill, hold that thought. Music of Bob Seger is actually our cue that we're going to go to break. We'll be back in a couple minutes, everybody. I'm talking with William Taylor Ryle, and my name is Maggie. We'll be right back. Hang in there.
No matter what.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you, and your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Now you can listen to the Orion Talk Radio Network on your phone, anywhere, anytime, with our Listen by Phone feature. Just call 704-772-7627. 704-772-7627. Then enter the code 10016. That's 10016. All long distance and cell phone charges apply. Powered by UpSnap.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or other issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
This is Maggie Rodden. You're listening to The Unsolicited Opinion. My guest this morning, William Taylor Ryle, my resident constitutional scholar that joins me on Sundays and occasionally during the week. And I don't know where we left off, Bill, since...
We were talking about where the Supreme Court in 1892 took up this issue of whether this country was a Christian nation or not. And that case was the Church of the Holy Trinity University, United States. We find it at 143 U.S. 457. It's the 1892 case. And there the court confirmed, in fact, cited 87 citations of history and writings and court decisions confirming that this is a Christian nation.
It's been bastardized since then, that's for sure, Bill.
That's because of the case method and what the attorneys and judges have done to pervert our history and others as well. But there the Supreme Court was confirming. In fact, they said they could list many others, but that was sufficient. 87, I would say so. The first case that they cited happened to be a Pennsylvania case, which was up to graft against the Commonwealth, which is an 1824 case, where the Pennsylvania Supreme Court had confirmed that this was a Christian nation. And that any concept to the contrary is just false. In fact, on page 400 of that up-to-graft decision, it says, we'll first dispose of what is considered the grand objection, the constitutionality of Christianity, and in effect, that is the question. Christianity, general Christianity, is and always has been a part of the common law of Pennsylvania. Christianity, well, it's spiritual auxiliary of European countries, for this Christianity was one of the considerations of the Royal Charter and the very basis of its founder, William Penn. Not Christianity founded on any particular religious tenet. Not Christianity with an established church and ties and spiritual courts. But Christianity with liberty of conscience to all men. And then it goes on and explains more about the history in the next page of the fact of what the court was saying. So when we get beyond the war between the states, is when the perversion really took off in great strides. But it doesn't change our history, and it doesn't change the law, and what our constitutions are founded on. And that's the problem. There are a lot of people who take things out of context. And so, as I said, this idea of the wall of separation was really based on a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Connecticut Baptist in 1802 because the Baptist in Connecticut had gotten a rumor that he was going to establish a national church.
Okay.
And he wrote back to them, not an official document, if you will, but the president trying to quieten these concerns, wrote back a letter and explained, actually citing a pastor, Roger Williams, who was a Baptist minister, very well known to the Baptist, and talking about the hedge that when it breaks down, the church needs to rebuild it to keep out the evils of the world. And that's true, the infiltration of corruption. But it did not, in fact, address the fact that say anything about the church or principles of morality not being the foundation of everything that government does. In fact, that's the way it's supposed to be. And so the court took that letter out of context. And in fact, I think it was in 1878, in the case Reynolds versus U.S., the Supreme Court used that case, that phrase from Jefferson, to confirm that there was, in fact, control of government by religion. And what they were doing in that case was to do away with bigamy and polygamy by the Mormons. And they said that in the normal course that government cannot interfere with religion, but when, in fact, some religion exceeds the civil norm, like having multiple wives against Christian principles, then, of course, the government has the responsibility to step in and stop it. So that's true. You know, if you have live sacrifices in a religion, that's not acceptable. That's not part of the Christian religion. And so that's what the court said in 1878. And then, of course, the Holy Trinity case in 1892 reaffirmed that. So what you have is this taking of Jefferson's statements out of context. And then for another 70 years, it laid dormant again. And the Reynolds case is the first time it was referred to, that wall of separation. And then in the Everson versus Board of Education in 1947, the court said that the First Amendment really was a wall of separation between, and that the government would not be influenced at all by the church. And that was, again, the move toward secularizing, if you will, or doing away with Christian influence in our governments.
Hey, Bill, who was pushing for that outcome back in 1947? Do you know who were the groups that were pushing?
Oh, sure. In 1859, Darwin put forward his theory of evolution. And, of course, that started the ball rolling aggressively for the humanist, the socialist, if you will, to take over and say, the only thing that really matters is what we do here on Earth. There's no future life, and we just come out of the slime. And all this concept that was contrary to any fundamental belief of this country still is. And it's been pushed in education by the reformers that were the same group, humanist, fascist, if you will, who wanted the state to be supreme.
Okay.
And it's been the same group, and it's been driven by the elitist. Again, they started meeting in Saratoga Springs, New York, and after the war between the states, and they formed all sorts of organizations. The Bar Association was formed there, as an example, in 1878, the Banking Association in 1875, the National Commissioners of Uniform State Laws there in 1892, all an effort to do away with the basis of our laws here being Christian. In fact, the Educational System Committee of 10 met there in 1892 and chose John Dewey to be the leader of the new educational system. And it was the same group of people who were changing all the other things that were going on in our country. So, and that's a discussion perhaps for another day. But the effort has been ongoing intently. But I think probably the thing that turned me inside this long list of cases that the Supreme Court decided after 1947 was a 1980 case. It's Stone versus Graham, where the Supreme Court was talking about having the Ten Commandments on the walls in the schools. And that their holding was that the children might read them, might meditate them, might venerate them, might obey them, and that's an unacceptable outcome, and therefore it's unconstitutional.
When was this, Bill? What year was this?
1980.
Okay.
1980. And when I read that case, along with a whole series of other cases, I said, who in the world in their right mind would listen to that body? It's more of a political body with a 5-4 decision. That's usually the way it is. And the point is, it's just totally untrue. And it's, again, moving the agenda to take God out of the public square.
Yeah. Well, that's a pattern that plays out over and over again everywhere.
Right. And when there are some good decisions that come out of the court, but it's sporadic. And they're not driven by principle. And they're certainly not driven by the law and our history. And so what you end up having is decisions made in courts that have nothing to do with the constitutions or the law or the history of our country.
Yeah.
And this. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you, we've only got a couple minutes left, Bill. So I just wanted to let you know that because I know.
Well, time flies.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun, right?
That's right.
So let's finish that thought real quick. Yeah, real quick, Bill. 30 seconds.
Yeah. The long and the short of it is that there is no such thing of this concrete separation where the government is not to be involved in religion at all. This is absolutely contrary to the law.
Okay.
And it's forgetting this and interfering with the free exercise thereof. When, in fact, government comes in and does that, it's clearly in conflict with the second phrase of the Establishment Clause.
Yeah. Listen, Bill, on that note, what I want you to do is send me a list of some of the books you were talking about or places people can look that you mentioned in the beginning of the show where they can look to find out this information. Again, Bill will be back with me next Sunday. He is my resident constitutional scholar, and I think it's critical that we all understand exactly what it is and that the Constitution says and what it means, and the same with the Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights. Those are our foundational documents. Bill, I want to thank you very much for getting in touch or calling into the show again today, and next time, call on a landline.
Yeah, I will.
Thanks, Bill. Have a nice, wonderful day the rest of your day. I appreciate it very much.
You too. Thank you for having me. Bye.
Okay, Bill, as always. Hey, listen, everybody, a tab on my website, The Unsolicited Opinion, will be up. Actually, it's already up there, and with information for Bill with some of the documents, and he's going to put some more stuff up there. I know he will. He's just a procrastinator like me, and it always makes it difficult when you like to procrastinate. Hey, listen, everybody, I love to go to Oz. I'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Republic Broadcasting Network. Listen in, everybody. We're redistributing the truth one word at a time. War 10, War 20. See ya.
There's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where.